Baptist World Aid 6 weeks, so I'm very fresh, and you probably all know more about Baptist World Aid than I do, so when I get it wrong, just yell out and correct me, I'm very happy to be here today. So today I thought I would talk about partnerships. Some partnerships make sense, like C4's partnership with Baptist World Aid. It makes sense, it's a good fit. Others make some sense as well. I quite like Specsavers sponsoring the NRL. That makes sense, right? You want referees to make the right call, so the fact that they can see is a good thing. But some partnerships make less sense. Did you try chocolate and Vegemite when it came out? That was a few years ago. I couldn't bring myself to try it. I went and bought some of these. It's Twisties and Donut King. So not only if you like Twisties, you can have Twisties, but they can be flavoured like donuts. So it's kind of just like, why? Why would you do that? Why? But I'll open it up afterwards. You can come and try it and see if it's worth it. This is an interesting one, Coopers and the Bible Society. Coopers in 2017 put out a light beer, and they did a partnership with the Bible Society and said, live light, and they put Bible verses. And it didn't work out well for either of them. There was a lot of upset people from Cooper's side and from the Bible Society side as well. And so the beer was pulled. But this is my favourite bad partnership, I think. I don't think I could do this. This one is KFC and Crocs. Have you ever seen these? Would you wear them? You would. So KFC is bad enough if you eat it, but then to be having it on your shoes as you walk around, like it's not, you know, actual KFC, it's just printed images of KFC. But they got together and they made this. Think of all the creativity that has gone into forming this partnership. Some partnerships seem odd, and yet they might actually work. This is a picture of my husband and I. I like to put pictures up of my whole family, but someone came and told my kids once that if they ever get mentioned in a sermon, they can get asked for $5. And with three kids, it started to get expensive, so I've tried to remove them when I talk at churches. But my husband and I have, I think it's a lovely partnership, but we're quite different, right? He's into music, he plays the guitar and drums, and I don't have a musical bone in my body. Joel is into watching sport. I quite like playing sport and going for bushwalks, and he's learning to like bushwalks. I like drinking cups of coffee at cafes, and so Joel now comes and he has a milkshake while I sit and have my coffee. We pretty much have nothing in common except for Jesus and now three kids. But we work. I hope that we make each other better by spending time together. Sometimes the unexpected partnerships are the best. And that's what it's like with God and us. It's a surprise, this delight that he has in humanity, in you and me, that he loves us and wants to be with us for all eternity. And sometimes I think, really, God? Really? Are people your best plan? You know, we've been talking about all the things that have gone wrong in our world this morning, and we've made such a big mess of things. And when I look at all the figures of all the things that are going wrong, 900 million people facing acute food insecurity. And this has just grown worse since the pandemic. 95 million people today forced to flee their homes due to conflict, violence or fear of persecution. And this is so much more, the most since World War II. and it can become really overwhelming. And even in Australia, when I look at the statistics of the mentally unwell or the rising anxiety levels in teens, it can just feel all too much. And it's such a far cry from the equitable, abundant scene we see of Adam and Eve walking in the Garden of Eden with God and things working out the way they are supposed to, living in harmony. And yet, as followers of Jesus, we know that nothing is beyond God's hope. No war, no famine, nothing is beyond God's hope. Because God does have something to say about the brokenness of this world, and his name is Jesus. God, through Jesus, has brought hope into the world and into our lives. Emmanuel, that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus with us. And I love what Jesus said about himself and his ministry when we read in the passage from Luke 4, 14 to 20. Jesus comes down off the mountain after spending 40 nights with Father God in the wilderness, being tempted and resisting the devil. And then he comes down and into the synagogue at Nazareth and unrolls the scroll of Isaiah. I know you've been spending a lot of time in Isaiah. And he reads the passage from Isaiah 61, 1 to 2, about the announcing of the coming the announcement of the coming Redeemer. This is who Jesus is and what his ministry will look like. Things will not go on as they have in the past. The one for whom they have been waiting for is here. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And if you know the story, you will know that no sooner had Jesus spoken these things than people started to begin to whisper, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" And the people became furious, and they got up and they drove him out of town and took him to the brow of the hill in order to throw him off the cliff. I love this. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Jesus wasn't always well received. Here in his hometown, he was driven out of town by the very people he grew up with. And why? Wasn't Jesus saying good things? He's come to proclaim the good news to the poor, bring sight to the blind, set the prisoners free, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Good things, right? The people didn't like what Jesus was saying. Not because they didn't like the ideas he presented, although that would have had huge impact for their lifestyle were they to follow those challenges. But because he is announcing that he is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah. Jesus is declaring he is the suffering servant. He is the messianic king. And that sounds a lot like blasphemy. Could Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, Jesus whom they had known their whole lives, be the Messiah? And when we come to the words of Jesus, we need to be careful that we don't limit what he has to say because of who we think he is, of our preconceived ideas. Who is the good news for? Who is the freedom for? Who is the Lord's favour for? In this passage, Jesus says it's for the poor, the oppressed, the prisoner. So who are these people? I think the poor is anyone who doesn't have Jesus in their life. So it's my neighbour, my friend, my family, but it's also the people who are experiencing poverty in Bangladesh, Myanmar, Nepal, Cambodia. It's the poor in spirit and those experiencing poverty. It's the oppressed and afflicted mentally and emotionally, and those that are experiencing persecution, political unrest, or fleeing from war. It's the prisoner of the soul and the prisoner in jail. It's both metaphoric and literal. And the brokenness of this world breaks our hearts and we long for something better. And I believe that God has put that desire in our hearts. And we know that the problem of sin is within us too. And Jesus sees us at our worst, in our brokenness, in our pain, in our angst. And he doesn't turn away from us, but instead says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." I am so thankful that Jesus came into my life as a 12-year-old. I'm not from a Christian family, and so I went to a camp on the South Coast and someone invited me to follow Jesus, and it changed my life. It completely changed my life because now I have someone whom I can look up to, someone whom I can follow, someone whom the Holy Spirit is transforming me day by day. And because of Jesus, I am called to a life of purpose, a bigger life, one with hope, one with dignity, a life of courage and integrity. And I can think of no better way to live out my life or your life in the pursuit of Jesus, a life of partnering with God. And that means that no matter what happens in this life or in the world, we can have hope. And not only have hope, but bring hope to others. So let's delve into the passage and really explore it. Jesus said he was here to proclaim the good news. So what is the good news? It's the assurance of eternal life. It's that Jesus came to redeem not just humanity, not just for eternity, but for now. And for all of creation. Colossians 1:15 and then verse 19 to 20 says that the Son is the image, the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. At Baptist World Aid, as has been spoken, we dream of a world where poverty has ended and all people enjoy the fullness of life God intends. It's a good dream, isn't it? And I know you guys get this. I know you have values of relationships, social justice and prayer. And I know you have partnered with Baptist World Aid for a really long time. Thank you. What you do is making a difference. His kingdom come, as we prayed. His will be done. We are here to proclaim the good news in word and in deed. N.T. Wright puts it this way: the point of the resurrection is that this present bodily life is not valueless just because it will die. What you do with your body in the present matters, because God has a great future in store for it. What you do in the present by painting, preaching, singing, sewing, praying, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, caring for the needy, loving your neighbour as yourself will last into God's future. And these activities are not simply ways of making the present life a little less beastly, a little more bearable until the day when we leave it behind. They are part of what we may call building for God's kingdom. Our lives are filled with purpose because of Jesus. And Jesus came to proclaim freedom. For some, freedom means freedom from obeying the law or freedom from being told what to do. But believers are given freedom from sin, from our sin nature. We are called out of darkness for his good plans. And the Greek word for freedom is aphesis, and it literally means release. It means you are free from your debts, your bondages, your poverty. We can act justly. We are to care for the poor, the oppressed, the widow, the refugee. In the Old Testament, before the exile, God repeatedly warned the Israelites through the prophets of Amos, Isaiah, Micah, and Jeremiah about the way that they were living. God was angry with his people for worshipping, devoid of living ethically in their life, that they would give gifts of worship, but at the same time oppress the people around them. Our worship is to live a life of worship, a living sacrifice, to think about what we buy, what we eat, what we consume, to be stewards of God's good earth. And finally, Jesus says to proclaim the Lord's favour, the year of the Lord's favour. So this is a reference to the year of Jubilee as described by the law of Moses in Leviticus 25. Jesus, when he read the passage in Isaiah, was announcing the arrival of a time of grace, a time of release. The year of the Lord's favour is not a calendar year per se, but a way of referring to the era of salvation that was coming in with the arrival of Jesus. And so what does God's favour in our lives look like today, or look like in Cambodia? It's God's plans and purposes. It's God's kingdom, God's rule and reign in our lives. It's partnering with God in bringing his favour to this world. So your partnership with Baptist World Aid in Cambodia means that our Cambodian partner can continue to do sustainable community development in their community. During the last year, two community preschools have been established and supported. There's 74 students in total and two teachers who are supported. Three children's clubs have been established and recognised by community leaders and village development committees. And the cooperation among local authorities, community leaders, stakeholders has been strengthened and increased. So this is Chum. So we'll get a picture of him up there. He's 51 years old and he lives in the north of Cambodia near the Thailand border. So Chum is a Hope Group volunteer for agriculture, and so he's received training in home agricultural practices. And he used to go to Thailand to work, but in Thailand became unwell. And his sickness got so bad that he had to come home to live with his family. And his family struggled with food shortage. And so after joining the project, Chum has gained more knowledge related to agricultural techniques, especially home gardening. And he says, "After I joined training, I have started to prepare my gardening at the side yard near my house. I grow vegetables using manure that helps my crop grow well, and the manure stores water well for my crop. And I have enough vegetables for consumption for my family, and we also sell these vegetables. And we save this money to support my son's studies. My family plans to expand more and continue to grow so that we also can grow in our income. Moreover, I can be with my family and not need to cross the border and leave my family." The goal of this project in Cambodia is to build a thriving community living in harmony where children and youth are safe and healthy, especially the most vulnerable. This includes community leaders, capacity building, agricultural techniques, primary health education, early childhood development, and cooperation with primary school teachers for improving literacy and numeracy. So this is Dara. Dara is one of our youth partners and volunteers in the children's club, and she's 15 years old and studying in grade 10. She says, "Since joining the project, I am more courageous and have good relationships with my friends, teachers, and neighbours. In addition, my study has good results too. In particular, I am very proud of myself because I am able to teach small children in the children's club in my village. I was so happy to see the small children come together and I led them to read books and play games together. I see that small children in my village are actively involved in children club activities and come to study with me according to my schedule without being absent. In the future, I want to see my community develop, be healthy, and people have good living conditions, not affected by any infectious disease. I want to be a teacher to small children in my community to get an education for everyone. Because of your support and the work of our partners, stories like this are possible. Thank you for your partnership with Baptist World Aid, for proclaiming the good news, proclaiming freedom and proclaiming the Lord's favour. So, some partnerships don't really make sense, but some partnerships do. Thank you for continuing your partnership with God and with Baptist World Aid as you continue to pursue justice and mercy on this earth. Let me pray. Father, as we prayed earlier in the service, may your kingdom come. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, may we be people of hope. May we not grow despondent as we read and see all that is going on around us, but may we continue to look for you and to seek to be your people here on this earth, bringing your hope with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks, Erica. Well, we're going to finish our service with a song which I actually want to invite you into making this a prayer. The song is What the Lord Has Done in Me, and it could be sung in the first person, you singing it about yourself, but I encourage you as you stand and as you lift your voice to make it a prayer for everybody that it has the words, let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I am rich, let the blind say I can see, it's what the Lord has done in me. So let us pray those words that everyone will come into the saving arms of our great and glorious God through Jesus Christ. So please stand and sing. Amen. Jesus has died and risen again. As you go out this week, my prayer for you is that you will know all the fullness of life in Jesus Christ and that peace will be with you. Amen.